Our call to worship this morning is in the small book, number 2036, Give Thanks. Please stand. Good morning and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing the morning message. I am Russ Shoemaker. I am a worship leader for this morning. Would you please join me in the call to worship? We will read it responsively. Please God, the giver of life. Praise God, the giver of life.
Praise God, who blesses our world.
Praise God, who heals our wounds.
Praise God, who cares for our needs.
Praise God, the giver and maker of all.
Let us pray. Holy One, have mercy on us this day. When we cannot take any more of this world, we know that we must turn to you. When our souls have had their fill, Lord, we seek your protection. We come to you in faith and love, in the hope of your salvation, now and always. Amen and amen.
And our opening hymn this morning is in your hymnals, number 131, We Gather Together.
Thank you.
Our kids want to come over now? Did you all have a nice Thanksgiving? Did you? I figured you probably did. Did you get lots to eat? Very good. I want you to tell me some of the things this morning, and maybe you've already talked about this, some of the things that you're thankful for. What are some of the things that you are thankful for especially? Yes. Your house? Your family? Did they take one of yours? I'll bet they did. You have lots to be thankful for, don't we? Do you have any pets? Yeah. Very good. You have lots of friends, I'll bet you. Probably thankful for your friends too, right? What else? Anybody else have anything? We have lots. I'll bet if we were to get a notepad out, we would fill that whole notepad right up, wouldn't we? With all the things that we are blessed with. We dedicated our shoeboxes a couple of weeks ago, and we filled those with toys and goodies and paper and pencils and all kinds of good stuff for children that really, I'm sure, are going to be thankful to get those boxes. But I'm also pretty sure that they don't have a lot of the things that we take for granted. And when I say take for granted, it means we just expect that they're going to be there. When we get up in the morning, we know that we have somebody that's either gotten a lunch ready for us or helped us to make sure we have everything in our backpacks, maybe put some cereal or maybe some breakfast on the table for you. We just expect some of those things, and so many other children just don't have that. Some don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Some haven't eaten maybe in a couple of days even. And so we have so much, don't we, to be thankful for. We're very healthy. You kids are all just vibrant and energetic and healthy. And we talked about a little boy in KPAC this morning that he is thankful that he's now cancer-free. And we've prayed for folks over the year, haven't we, that their children are not well, and some adults that aren't well. And so we are just thankful when we have our health, when we can feel good, and we even are thankful to go to school. Some of the children that we send those boxes to only get to go a few years to school because it costs more than what their families have money for. So our mission money that we get to when we pick up our noisy offering, some of those coins that are in there go to help kids be able to go to school. When I go to annual conference in the spring, they talk about all kinds of places that our monies go that we send from the United Methodist Church. They go all kinds of places, but they also go right here locally. There's a program called Readers to Leaders, and it helps kids get the training and the ability. All of you, I'm sure, can read, or you're honing those skills and you're getting better at those skills. Some of those kids don't have an opportunity to learn. Some of their parents don't even know how to read. So we just take some of those things for granted. But that program is a program where all the different United Methodist churches put their monies together and send them to places, and even keep some of those money here in your local communities to help kids learn how to read, so that when they're big and they're teaching their kids, they'll have the ability to teach them how to read, and the next generation will learn how to read, and the next generation will learn how to read. So all of that is good, and we give thanks to the Lord that we here in this church do a lot of mission projects, and we give thanks for each one of you and your families. I know a lot of people are still away doing Thanksgiving with their families and other places as well. So we're going to give thanks for their great, their return and traveling mercy as they come back home this week. Well, let's pray, kids, together. Thank you, Lord, for all that you blessed us with. For those that aren't able to be here today because they're still enjoying family and other places, Lord, for traveling mercy as they travel back home. Lord, for each one of these children, their families that are represented. Lord, we ask that you bless each one here today with a thankful, grateful heart, because we know, Lord, we have you looking out for us, and you are our Lord and Savior, and we are so grateful and thankful for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, kids.
So I have to tell you, I read through this scripture this morning at home for two reasons. Number one, I didn't want to get stuck with any hard words like Suzanne did last week. And I wanted to kind of familiarize myself with it. And I made a gigantic decision while I was reading through this. And I thought, there isn't anybody in this congregation or there isn't anybody listening on the radio who does not need to hear these words. It's coming from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 18. The NIV version. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, wines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord, your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. May God add his blessing on the reading of his word.
We're praying this week for Community First Title Company. That is our business that we will lift in prayer all week long. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Creator of life and giver of all we have, thank you for your amazing grace and your abundant love. When we reject your many gifts, forgive us, Lord. Open our lives once more to your generosity. When we neglect to give as generously as we have received, forgive, Lord, our selfishness. Draw us back to the generous love that first drew us into the mystery of your love and the marvels of your world. When we forget to give thanks, Lord, forgive us. Turn our thoughts back to you with joy and with thanksgiving. Lord, we pray for each on our list this morning in our hearts, for those unspoken needs. Lord, for your guidance and direction in the upcoming year. For all, Lord, that long list that we talked about with the kids, for all that long list of things that we just take for granted. We give thanks to you, Lord, because you are the giver of all things. Just as the scripture reading this morning, we look around us, Lord, and we are grateful. You've allowed for this season for the crops to be able to be taken off. For many that are still out there this morning working diligently to do just that. For the harvest, Lord, that you work on daily. The harvest of souls and hearts, Lord, to be won for you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've allowed this church to do, the extended ministries, Lord, for our radio ministry, for those that are listening this morning, Lord, we just give thanks for each one that's taken the time to join in our worship, to give thanks and praise to Almighty God. Lord, for each family represented here, for so many that are traveling, Lord, we just ask that you give them mercy and grace in those travels. And Lord, until we come back into your fold once again, we pray that you would give us direction, that you would give us your peace. We have so much to look forward to as we begin in just another week into our Advent journey. We pray that you will bless this time and in the days ahead. Bless the ministry that was begun so many years ago here. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be the best that we can possibly be. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And now we will have our choir anthem, A Thanksgiving Prayer. Thank you, choir, for that. Our New Testament reading this morning, reading from the New International Version as well, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they went. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God this morning. What does being faithful to God look like? Well, it has a lot with thanksgiving. So we're going to explore that a little bit this morning. Real faith begins when our senses end. When we see something, we usually don't feel the need to trust God for it. That is a sad but true fact, isn't it? When we can see something and we know we can attain it, then we feel like somehow we've had some part in all of that. And we just don't feel the need to trust God for it, at least as much. And since we can't see very far in ahead of our lives, living by sight keeps us living small. Faith says, "God, I know that whenever you speak, you're telling me the truth." That's one thing we know for sure. I can stake my life on that. Faith proves what we believe about God. Think about that for just a second. Faith proves what we believe about God. Many of us act like we have more confidence in ourselves than we do in Him. And thus, we spend a lot of our time worrying, don't we? Because we know how we can screw up so easily. But we know that God never does. He leads us in a direction that will always lead to having His goal in mind fulfilled. Jesus died to save this world. I'm not telling you anything you don't know this morning. He took our place so we don't have to go there. If our faith is lacking, we're not acting on the power and promises of God. We are not going to see the supernatural works that He does in our lives. At church conference this last week, our district superintendent talked to us about a mustard seed. We've talked about mustard seeds before, so that's not anything new to you either. But they're very tiny, aren't they? They're very minuscule. And the Lord tells us if we just have that kind of faith, that He will help us grow our faith and that we will be able to do great things for Him. And after all, that's our goal, isn't it? To do great things for Him. As we consider giving our best and doing our best for God, let us remember some of these things this morning. First of all, giving is a part of our relationship with God. I think Karen mentioned this morning in our beginning of our service that we enjoyed very much about how much you have volunteered to do for our soup supper this week. And many of you have offered to contribute your time, your talents, soup, crackers, all kinds of things, desserts, to make that a success. Have you considered, sometimes we think about what we've done and forget to think about how much we have been given in life. We talked about that with the children, didn't we, kids? We talked about all of those list of things that we could name that we take for granted. This Thanksgiving, it's important for us to remember all of the things that we've received right from the start of when we were little. Your first clothes were given to you by someone else. You were fed as a baby, protected as a child. Schools you attended because someone else gave. Our nation that's protected by soldiers. We owe a huge debt to our veterans. We celebrated a few weeks ago as well. This church is here because people before us gave. We've been given a lot. But remember, God has given us everything, everything that we have. The very breath in our lungs was given to us and continues to be given to us by God. This beautiful planet was given to us by God. And he asks us to take care of it. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about Cain and Abel. Many of you remember that story in the Old Testament, one of the first stories, and one of the saddest stories to me, about two brothers and Cain killing Abel. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock, it tells us in Genesis 4. Cain became a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. Each of these men brought this offering to God. Remember this morning, that God doesn't need what we have to give. You and I need to offer what we have. God is not poor. We're not bailing him out of a hole. But he wants to teach us how to love one another. And in loving one another, that means giving of ourselves. Giving money and time and talent to God doesn't do God a favor, really, but it pleases him so very much because we're doing what he's asking of us to do. It does a lot for you to follow God's call to give. Take pride in serving. Secondly, your giving gives you away. One of the lessons we learn from this story that we talk about, this Cain and Abel story, our giving gives us away. If we're generous, that comes from the heart, and it comes from obedience to God. If we're selfish, that also gives us a peek into our hearts. In our world, generosity is rare, although I see it very often here. Years ago, some of you are going to remember the TV show Candid Camera. Any of you remember that show? They've even had some redos of that over the years. Children were placed one at a time in a room with a plate of cookies. I believe there was only two cookies on that plate. One of the cookies was very large. The other was not so much. The adult left the room. The kids were told that they could take a cookie. Well, you probably can almost guess what happened. Every time they did this, the child took the big cookie. One boy was asked why he took the big cookie. Host Alan Funt told the boy, "All you left me to eat was this little cookie. I would have eaten the little cookie and given you the biggest one." Without a blink, the boy responded, "Then you got the one you wanted." We look at the story this morning of the two givers, Cain and Abel. Still, in an amazing twist, Cain's offering was not accepted. Why wasn't Cain's offering accepted? Was there something inherently wrong with his sacrifice? Why did God accept Abel's and reject Cain's? The Bible doesn't say exactly for sure, but we see a lot of clues. Cain's offering was tainted by his attitude. Maybe he gave his offering disgusted to have to give an offering at all. Hebrews 11:4 of the Message Bible says it was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous in Abel's gift. Genesis 4:5, his offering was not accepted, and it made Cain so angry. In fact, Cain was enraged, so much so that there was no way he could hide his feelings. 1 John 3, we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, his brothers were righteous. Abel's offering was made in faith, out of that faith that we talk about, that small faith. This outward gift revealed his heart. You see, the problem was not with maybe what Cain was offering as much as it was the condition of the heart that was giving it. Thirdly, our giving bears witness beyond ourselves. That's the way it works. When we give an offering to God, he goes way beyond, doesn't he? When we give him a little, he makes it into something huge. We've seen those miracles. We've heard about those miracles. We saw a miracle last week. There was a story told this morning at the other church about a little boy also that received a miracle. We see miracles, but do we acknowledge and say thank you, God? Cain wanted to thank God for a successful year of farming. Abel brought his best, as people would later do with kings, expressing total dependence on God. Abel offered himself to be a servant of God. He gave the best first. When we offer ourselves to be used by God in service, we see that over and over again in Scripture, don't we? When those folks dedicate their lives, sometimes their parents dedicated their children to be used by God during their lifetime. And when they do, we see that those people were allowed to do great things. Greater things than they could have ever imagined as God was leading them. Not of their own ability, but of what God can do with that little mustard seed of faith. Giving with the right attitude, not, oh, I have to do that again. Kind of like we say when we pay taxes or something, right? Oh, it's time to do that again. No, when we give, knowing that the Lord, his intention is to build his kingdom, to prepare our hearts. Just like we talked about the virgins and the lamps and the oil that they were filling, those that chose to fill theirs, and those that chose to kind of procrastinate and be lazy and not fill them. When we do what the Lord is asking of us to do, we can't go wrong. By faith, the Lord's still speaking. He speaks in every generation, not simply as an immortal memory, but it stimulates faith in others to give when you share your stories of the miracles in your life that you've witnessed. The things that God has brought you through or brought you to, when you share those, they become a witness to your faith and a blessing for others that are in similar dire situations. As the years go on, they will remember the story of how God brought you through. And it will be a testimony to them as they seek God as well in their times of need. Abel is an example for us to follow. Death is never the last word for the righteous person. When they leave this world, they leave something in it. What the Bible is talking about here is influence. When we have memorial services, and we've had some services where people have stood and shared with the person that has passed, the way they've crossed paths with so many of you, the way they've made their influence so many saints that have passed on. They've left their influence and they've left their mark here in this place, in this sanctuary. The stories in the walls here and the windows and the seats, the places that we find ourselves here on Sunday morning, they all have a story to tell and a legacy that has been left here. Abel was faithful in his offering. And he says this morning, through this testimony, it's an example that we might give our best to God and give the best to God first. The Bible promises givers, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19 tells us that. Matthew 6, "Consider the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. God cares for them and will care for us." We can trust God. Faith includes growing in our giving. God's given each one of us a measure of faith to be developed. If you can't believe God to heal your headache, why would you believe God to heal cancer? If you can't believe God to solve a $100 problem, why would you ask him to solve a $1,000 problem? If you don't have faith for the smaller things, you can't have faith for the bigger things. You have to start believing somewhere and exercising your faith. At one of my churches over the years, we were doing a building project, and in that building project, the architect that was going to do the blueprints for that plan said, "I want you to dream and dream big. There is no dream that is too small. I want you to dream big." And I think when God planned our lives, he was saying the same thing to us. Dream big, because I will help you make that happen. You will grow your faith for future generations. You might not have thought about that, but your spirituality and what you bring to the table when we gather together in this room, whether it's Sunday morning at Bible study or during the week or whenever, you're bringing to the table a legacy that the children are watching and paying attention, even if you don't think they are. You're bringing something to the table here in this sanctuary that nobody else can do. Something that you will fulfill in the promises that God has given to you. He will bring you to it, and then he will bring you through. Carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, right? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it in you. It's interesting to know that God still speaks through the story of Cain and Abel, the story of a murdered brother. Abel did the right thing before God, and he was killed for it. So you see how things happen sometimes in a different way than we would have had it planned or than we could have imagined it. Faith isn't some magical pill that you take and presto, life becomes painless and trouble-free. No problems, no difficulties, no struggles. Bible doesn't say that anywhere. But I pose this question to you today, as I pose it to myself at the same time. What are you offering to God today? God wants our everything. Christianity today is different a little bit, I think, than when I was a little girl. In our world today, a lot of people think it's practice on Sunday morning for an hour. A person goes to church every Sunday, will somehow appease God. Then from the time the sanctuary is left, whatever time that might be in many different places, until the following Sunday, they live their lives the way they want, no regard to our God, acknowledgement in any way, practicing all sorts of selfishness. It's probably always been that way to a certain extent, but I think even more so today. We're filled with ego and pride many times. We live from day to day filling our lives with things that really offend the Lord. We don't have the regard that we should for our neighbors, to hurting people, to the needy. We have very little time for devotions and prayer or Bible study. But we do remember God very vividly when we need something from Him. Faith is not only on Sundays, folks. We just need to remind ourselves of that, right? Faith is not dependent only on Sundays, but in the rest of the week as well. Do we give God the best that we have during the week as well, or just the leftovers? The reason many of us stall in our spiritual growth is because our faith doesn't reach beyond our sight. So many times in my life I have thought, I do not know the way out of this situation. I don't know the way out. I can't see a way that is going to produce anything good. Have any of you ever felt that way? I don't know the answer for this problem. I don't have the solution for this situation. I don't have it. I just don't have it. And I, as much as I could lay awake at night thinking about it, I can't figure it out. And then the Lord shows up and finds a way to show me, if you'd have just let me in there, I would have shown you. I can't figure it out, but He can with that mustard seed size faith. He will show me a way that I would have never dreamed of. I could have never imagined it in a million years, that things turned, the tide turned and shifted and made a way through. Just like that parting of the Red Sea, right? They could have never imagined a rescue on that day. They could hear those chariots just a-coming. They could feel the earth shaking underneath the hooves of those horses and chariots. And yet God said, I can make a way when there seems to be no way. But you got to listen. You have to do it the way I ask. What is your offering to God today? And I'm not talking about what comes up in the offering plates. But what is your offering to God today? Let us bow. Thank you, Lord, for showing us ways that we can give of ourselves. We don't even think it matters, but you take that effort and you do something with it that we could have never imagined or thought of. Lord, give us the ability to grow that faith today as we humble ourselves before you. Make it not about just an hour on Sunday, but every moment after we walk out of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. We can have our ushers come forward. We'll have the giving of our tithes and offerings. Generous, loving one, receive these gifts that are given to you. May they be symbols of your generous love for all creation. Bless these gifts and those who give them, that all might become blessings to your world and signs of your glory. In your glory and grace, we pray these things. Amen. Our closing hymn is 694. Come, ye thankful people, come. benediction is responsive this morning. Get up and go on your way, forgiven, healed, and free. Go to give and love freely. Let's share in Blessed Be the Tie That Binds in our closing. May you have a blessed week.